We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Well, it is Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. I thought that maybe we could subject David to a small dose of hell and just say, all right, David, it's all about NY27 once again today, just to make David feel as uncomfortable and as awkward and as overworked as possible. Who's with me on this one? Anybody? Phil Kennedy, I've got a vote from him. Sean Murphy is abstaining, I believe, which is nothing new for Sean. I'm just going to tell you that much. Anyway, welcome. It is Bowerly and Bellavia, News Radio 930 WBEN. It is so good to be with you on a Tuesday. And, of course, this is, I might be the only person to whom this ever happens, but, you know, you look at your grass, right? And it grows long, especially because we've had some much needed rain. So the rain is coming out, you know, and the grass is growing and you want to mow it. And then the minute you get the mower out, it can look like it's threatening rain all day long. But the minute you decide to mow, that is exactly when the clouds open up and douses you. I had some rather unkind things to say to Mother Nature last night. Now, David, fortunately, you've got the Amish living by you and they allow their goats and sheep to graze on your lawn. So I don't think you have to worry about mowing your lawn. And the Amish are big fans.
Yeah. No, listen. Stop. I don't want to say. You know, listen, I want to talk about the real issue of today. You got bad clams, huh?
You knew it was going to happen sooner or later.
It was a matter of time that you... Listen, you're rolling the dice.
You are right.
By the way, any clams that come from the Erie Canal... are not to be, are zebra mussels.
They've got clams. A very special flavor to them from the Erie Canal. It kind of takes me back to the food hygiene of, you know, the 1820s.
Now, do you know where you like the best clams? Are they Atlantic Ocean? Where are they?
Actually, you mean from whence they come?
Yeah.
Actually, we have had very good luck with the farm raised, but we've also had very good luck with Atlantic Ocean clams. So I can't complain. And actually, the place I got bad clams is also the place I've had the very finest clams, other than the ones Mrs. Nerd Bowerly makes. Now, those clams are extraordinary every single time. And, you know, David, we have an expression in the world of clams, and it is that of compliance. The word compliance originated from flipside guitar player John LaJoie, or as I like to call him, Jean LaJoie, on Sunday, because we decided we were going to grill clams. Now, as anybody knows, if a clam does not open up, consider it to be a dud. Consider it to be a bad clam. When a clam does open up, it is said of the clam, aha, we have full compliance. And I'm happy to report, David, that at least on Sunday for the Clam and Italian Food Fest, we had, I think, 99% or close to it compliance with clams opening up on the grill. So I was delighted with that. But unfortunately, last night, I knew from the very first bite, no, these are not good clams. I did call the restaurant, which I'm not going to name because I like the restaurant and I don't think it's their fault, actually. And I know that they'll make good on them. But let's just say this much. I was very disappointed. And this has been the summer of clams. And ladies and gentlemen, before you hit the send button on the text you're writing right now saying, aren't you ever going to grow up? I can't believe you're talking about clams. We are literally talking about the seafood clams. It's not a metaphor. It's not a simile. It's nothing literary whatsoever. We're talking about freaking clams. Thank you.
Steamed clams. That's all we're talking about.
Indeed.
Sometimes it could be the butter, too.
No. It was definitely the clam. And, it's always... No, I tell you something. Let me just give you a little bit of advice. And keep in mind, I just got into clams this past summer with a vengeance. All right? And this summer, guys, can we just have a round of applause for the summer of 2018? Can we just give yourselves a round of applause for the summer of 2018? Because it has just been absolutely extraordinary in terms of weather. Of course, not too bad in the terms of politics either. But the restaurant itself is a fine restaurant, and some of the finest clams, other than the homemade, are those from that particular place. It's just that, you know, I think that they just had a bad night. Now, I didn't get sick or anything, but I'm just saying that one of the mistakes a lot of people make, new to the clam world, you don't want to put the hot sauce on your very first clam. What you want to do, believe it or not, with your very first clam, you want to taste that clam. You want to get a sense for whether or not you're, in fact, eating a good quality clam. So don't smother it with butter. Don't smother it with hot sauce. The first one, just puck out of the shell, okay? Don't be shellfish. Take it out of the shell and taste it. And if it tastes at all suspicious, you don't want to continue eating them. You do not want to hide the noxiousness with any hot sauce or any butter. You're not doing yourself any favor. Now, like I said, I did not get sick. I also did not get to enjoy clams last night. And frankly, David, I feel rather let down because of that.
It's becoming a staple to your diet.
Well, I always like to say this, and fellow heart patients, here's the irony. I don't like seafood. I'm going to say that again. I don't like seafood. Seafood has not been a part of my diet, which is probably why I had bypass surgery at the age of 54, okay? But in terms of little powerhouses of protein with, like, virtually no fat whatsoever, the clam, the humble clam, is one of the best things that people with heart issues can eat. Obviously, if you dunk every clam in butter, you're not getting the full benefit of the clam itself. But there's nothing wrong with the clam and some delicious hot sauce. The only thing with the hot sauce is you got to look out for the sodium. But again, here's the takeaway on the clam discussion. Your first clam in a batch, don't put anything on it. You want to taste it. You want to make sure it passes the test. If it passes the test, then put whatever you want on it, and it's going to be delicious. But now, you love clams, David. Part of it is, of course, because of your Italian ancestry, and clams and linguine with clam sauce, apparently big staples across the pond and over the boot. But I think I have surpassed you with my love of what I like to refer to as the humble clam.
Yeah, I definitely, I cannot put myself in the same fanatic.
This is me, David.
You know, but
I'm just a binger.
It speaks of your personality in a way.
Keep going.
I believe if I could play a little, I mean, if I were to diagnose you, I would say there's an itsy teeny bit of obsessive compulsive about you. And there is, like, for example, you can't just watch a film one time. You have to watch that movie 37 times, and then you can't just enjoy the movie. You have to try to memorize, as if the screenwriter one day will ask you for a job interview, and
could happen.
You never know, and so you want to be able to remember, hey, this is how the line is given. Now, it doesn't matter if it's Quentin Tarantino, it doesn't matter if it's Godfather, Scorsese films, whatever it is, you watch them to the point where
I'm agreeing with you totally.
And it's the same thing with clams. It's the same thing with the guitar. You have rehearsal times. You're not in a band. You're not in a studio. You do this because you are, and I'm sure the radio was no different.
You are absolutely spot on, David, because when I look, I mean, this is not some, DDSM thing necessarily. Of course, maybe it is, but that's called denial, I believe. But I absolutely admit to you and everybody listening to this show right now that, yes, I do have, I think, obsessive compulsive tendencies. And I'm not saying obsessive compulsive disorder, because that would mean there's something fundamentally wrong with me. But clearly, David, you know me and you know the way I am. And absolutely, those behavior patterns do fit under obsessive compulsiveness. And I'll take it one step further. I don't think I just have obsessive compulsive tendencies. I think I've also got adult. Let's see. What was I going to say? I think I've got ADHD. I really do. I think whatever the adult version of ADHD is, I think you're the same way, because there comes a point.
Let's talk about football for a second.
But I think we're both the same way. And I would argue that if you talk to Rush Limbaugh, Michael Savage, Sandy Beach, if you talk to any great radio personality, notice how I try to lump myself in with those people to bask in reflected glory.
Absolutely.
But if you talk with any great radio personality, we are all obsessive compulsive to some degree, and we all have ADHD. We all have an element of that, because there are times, David, we can be right in the middle of this incredible topic with an incredible guest and incredible questions and incredible response, and we'll look at each other and we'll like let out a collective yawn, like, yeah, this is going great, but you know, we've done it for 15 minutes, so why are we keeping on doing it?
Yeah, but you know, the other side of that too, though, is that it's not so, to me, most creative minds tend to be a little frantic, right?
And you can say nuts.
No, but you see that a creative mind, someone who likes to create, this is someone who thinks about a topic, and the other problem that you find with really creative people is that they have a fear of finishing something.
Yes. Right? Oh my God.
So what happens is you are on a project and you don't want to hit the final button on that project, right? So if you're writing something, you over edit. Because the moment you let that go, that project is over, and there's a fear of what's my next one going to be. So what happens is you oftentimes start your next project before you finish the last one, because you always want to know where your brain is going to be able to sink into and finish. And it a lot of people see that as, well, you're procrastinating, you're lazy, you can't finish. But what happens, your mind is just going so fast. And that's usually creative people do that.
You know, I figure this out as far as creative people go. One of the reasons we hesitate to hit the done button or we hit the send button. Think about what happens the minute you hit the send button. What happens? You at that very moment relinquish control. And a lot of creative minds who have the same issues that I've got and that David has, a lot of us are control freaks. And the minute we let something out, it is beyond our control, therefore subject to all critiques, all criticism, all censoring, you name it, and that's why we don't want to let it go. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. I think also that when you look at extremely intelligent people, and not all creative people are extremely intelligent, but you look at like Einstein, that guy slept for 12 hours a day. Right. And, you know, how much when someone comes home from work and, you know, they're using their mind all day, they're stressed out, how exhausted you are after if it's a radio show, it's 4 hours, you're at the office, you're doing whatever, you put everything into your day, and then you come home and it's just like, I need 15 minutes. That's why like a long commute sometimes isn't always the worst thing in the world. Sometimes you need 45 minutes to an hour to just decompress.
Absolutely.
or maybe get ready for your day.
Absolutely.
You know, and a lot of people use talk radio to get them through. And it's like, well, you know, do you want to have the type of show that you're constantly upsetting people, you're getting them, you know, passionate about something, or do you want to do the type of show that's just kind of like, you know, that guy that's on at 2 a.m. who's like, you know, Beethoven, you know, brought to you.
Wes Montgomery.
Yeah, right? That guy is just a human, you know, ambient.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think we have raised some very valid points. And, you know, the thing about Buffalo is we have some incredibly creative people in Buffalo. I will argue that when you look at the arts, when you look at any creativity whatsoever, whether it is architecture, and we think of architects as being, you know, simply math geeks, basically. Architects are very creative people, but an architect is able to unite the left side of the brain and the right side of the brain and come up with something that, you know, where form fits function and function fits form. And I just have a tremendous amount of respect for people who do that. The one thing I wish they do away with, however, David, is gutters, and never clean your gutters again. Go to WBEN.com through August 26th and get in to win a gutter system from Leaf Guard of Lake Erie, the number one choice in Western New York for protecting your gutters. You know, David, when you were a teenager, when you were a younger David Bellavia, I know that you never hijacked a Horizon airline plane and flew it into Puget Sound. But when you look back on it, is there anything that you did as a teenager intentionally? We're not talking about accidents. We're talking about intentionally that you look back on now and you think, what in the hell was I thinking?
Listen, that kid, that guy was 29 years old. That's number
right,
one.
Right, right, right.
And that, to me, it raises so many issues as to, you know, baggage handlers. How do you get, you know, what is an airplane like, have car keys in it? Like, you know, how do you?
Yeah.
How don't you can't just get into a 747 or a DC-10 or even an 85-seat commuter plane like this was, and just what start it up and. I mean, I
can't speak for the larger planes, but when I was flying the single-engine general aviation aircraft, it had keys. I mean, you go to Prior Aviation, and there was a board of keys. You know, this is for the Piper Cherokee 180 horsepower. This is for the 280 horsepower, the 300 horsepower. And you actually took keys, and you turned on the ignition to fire up the prop. True.
That's crazy to me.
Now, how, I mean, and if this young man, and remember, David, 29 is the new 16. Because people are not advancing, and this there is a topic in here, we're going to probably touch on it as we move along today, but people at 29 are not as mature as people who were 29 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 60 years ago. The growing up process, for reasons I don't understand, and maybe our audience has some insight into this, people are not reaching intellectual or emotional maturity now until they're like in their early 30s, which is wild because my mother was 20 years old and she had three little rugrats running around at 20.
You know, everything has changed. I mean, think about it. When I remember having a conversation with someone who was saying, you know, when we teenagers get pregnant and it's just the worst thing in the world because you end up being 40 years old and you have a 20-year-old or 21-year-old when you're 40. And then you think to yourself, well, that's the way life was in 1930. I mean, right. There were people getting married at 14, 15 years old, right?
Well, let's leave Jerry Lee Lewis out of this for a minute.
but back in the day when you had your kids, you know, what was a dangerous, reckless thing to do in 1950, right? Yeah, some people would jump on the back of cars as they were driving.
Pogieing.
Right.
In the snow.
All of these things, jumping out of, crazy, the rope near the canal or the bridge. People would jump off a bridge and do whatever. Nothing has changed. Well, now there's the internet. There's people that are constantly daring other folks to do things that are even more crazy and zany. But whether or not this man intended to commit suicide or not, the idea of taking an airplane and doing loop-de-loops over Puget Sound, I mean, first of all, thank God he didn't decide to recklessly take that plane and crash it into a building or something, you know, that would have caused other people to be hurt. But, I'm blown away at how quickly those F-16s got up in the air.
Oh,
that was
pretty amazing.
That is pretty amazing. Someone right now is just sitting in a cockpit waiting for stupid to happen. That's what they do. I mean, those guys are on call all the time. It's really insane.
You know, if you don't know what we're talking about, you know, we're going to talk about your reckless and wanton teenage years. But if you're near a computer, you can look this up. And if you're not, we'll explain it to you after the break. But over the weekend, young guy, 29 years old, decides he's going to hijack a plane. There was nobody in the plane. And I'm sure, hopefully, you've seen the video by now. He literally was doing loop-de-loops in this twin-engine prop commuter airplane over Puget Sound. It's one of the most bizarre pieces of video you will ever see. He did not survive, I would add. Good call, man. Good call. 3:36. By the way, coming up, we're going to have a mystery email. I want to see if David can identify the author. He knows the author of said email. But before we go there, David, right now, caller number 9 at 644-9875 gets a pair of tickets to the Fifth Dimension Thursday, August 30th, 3 p.m. at Falls View Casino, valued at $38. Must be 19 or older and have an enhanced license or passport to cross the border. General contest rules apply. Do you want to play a little quick game of who wrote that email? Because you'll never guess who wrote that email.
Sure.
Okay, here we go. Here is the email in question. Tom, just wanted to let you know that the most I ever ate of clams in one sitting, 200 clams. No joke, I'm totally serious. Now, this is an individual we both know, David. So, of every individual you can think of that we both know, who would be least likely to eat 200 clams at one serving?
200 clams in one serving.
Now you got to think opposites here.
Okay, so I'm going to think it's got to be a larger man.
You got to think opposites.
A skinny woman.
Now you're on the right path.
Was she born in the United States?
I don't think that's really relevant, but no, she was not.
Okay, because I'm thinking of people who would email you.
Okay, this is good deductive logic.
Okay, and I would say, is she extremely intelligent?
Yes.
Does she speak multiple languages?
Yes.
Did she recently have a child?
Yes.
Okay, I think I know who it is.
Amina.
There we go.
Amina Milanic, ladies and gentlemen.
And I don't believe that for a second.
I believe it because Amina has never, ever told a lie in her life.
No, I'm saying after the 50th clam, she probably blacked out, woke up with a bunch of shells, thought she ate everything in the restaurant.
This is a I hope I'm not going to get into trouble by reading this, but I cannot. I believe her because she is an inherently truthful person. Amina Milanic ate, in one sitting, 200 clams. I had to respond to Amina. It sounds like a challenge to me.
Someone, a 170-pound man, just texted in. He ate 12 dozen clams.
12 dozen clams.
Yeah.
204. Wait a minute.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of clams.
That's a lot of clams. My father had like 60 ears of corn in a sitting once.
No, that's impossible.
That's the story. It's ridiculous.
60 ears in one sitting?
I'm telling you, I don't know how much of the corn he took off that cob, but first of all, who makes that much corn?
Well,
it had to be a contest or a picnic.
Here's the thing about older people eating corn. I don't think it really counts depending on how old they are, because usually it ends up in the corners of their mouths.
Listen, that man had just it was unbelievable. He was like a John Candy in The Great Outdoors. He would eat a 64-ounce steak and chase it with a potato. Remember that?
Oh, then he went
home.
You ain't
done.
Oh,
yeah. You ain't done.
He got her done, though.
Yeah.
You mean I got to eat the gristle?
It's 144.
Yeah. I was trying to do quick math in my head, and I got lost.
So what? We're talking about
this young man, 29 years old. Apparently, he had no flight training, David. Now, his only flight training was video games. How this kid was able to properly start up a twin-engine commuter plane and then take it off.
He's on the ground every day, though. He's probably seen this whole, he's watching it through the side, or he's, gets on the plane to help clean it up, and he's seeing all the different, video games, flight simulators will definitely, teach you a lot, but he probably learned a lot just by being on the job. But the crazy thing about this was we heard some recordings that he was talking to air traffic control, and he was mentioning that he was dizzy, that he felt lightheaded because he thought maybe it wasn't pressurized. But let's be honest, the reason why oxygen masks drop from the ceiling is because if you hit turbulence, you go from 20,000 feet to 5,000 feet, you're going to hit G-force. I know a little something about that G-force.
Thanks to the F-16.
And I also know why they put little bags in the front. That's not for the extra food that you want to take home. Those bags are for if you get nauseous. But anyway, the point is,
they're also to take and put it in your car when you have small children.
That's not a bad idea.
I'm sorry, but when I used to fly, I considered the air sickness bag to be my personal property, and I used to put them in my car just in case the kids got sick, and they did come in handy.
Andrew Cuomo just texted in that that's a billion clams.
That's Cuomo math.
Yeah, that's Ed and Cheek DeWaga with a joke. But anyway, we got the guy does these loop-de-loops. First of all, the first one he does is very close to hitting the water.
That was precision. Dude, that was like Blue Angels quality precision flying.
Or just dumb luck. I mean, he
that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, he could have one little wing touch and that thing's done. And then the second one, it just looked like he, did a nosedive or whatever. But he was up there for quite some time. And, I'm just thinking to myself, in a busy airport like SeaTac, right?
It's huge.
How do you get just the ability to get on a runway?
Thank you.
That's crazy to me.
I mean, I tell you what, I haven't heard every tape, but the air traffic control people had to be going absolutely ballistic because, I mean, David, there are so many things that could have gone wrong just in entering the runway. I mean, obviously, as a member of the ground crew, he would have been familiar with certain procedures that he's seen a million times taking place. But, man, when you're actually in that cockpit, you basically depend on air traffic control to tell you everything you are going to do up until the moment they say you're cleared for takeoff. So how this kid was able to get out there is amazing. How he was able to take it off without hurting anybody is amazing. How he was able to get on the runway without hurting anybody is amazing. And I think it is equally amazing, and I'll try to come up with another word, but I think it is equally astonishing that he was able to take off that aircraft and basically keep it straight and level and actually do some pretty precision maneuvers with absolutely, as far as we know right now, zero time in the cockpit of a real airplane. That's amazing to me.
Well, also, these modern airplanes, they claim that they're really not that difficult to operate in the sky, but getting off the... Here's the thing. I think it would have been much more difficult for him to land that safely than it would have been, you know, to take off, maybe.
Unless, you know, unless he had practiced it over and over again on video. And I guess, David, we're never going to know, even though the tape recordings, he supposedly sounds rather chipper. We'll never know, A, if he could have landed it safely, and B, I don't know that we know the answer to this yet, and we probably won't until they release all the information from the cockpit recorder, but was this simply a grandiose suicide, and a very selfish grandiose suicide at that, because,
it appears, yeah.
I mean, they had to scramble fighter jets, as you said, they were there within minutes, which, by the way, gives me a tremendous feeling of security, knowing that the fighter jets arrived on the scene. I'm looking for the exact number of minutes, but they were very prompt. They were not going to take this hijacked commuter plane lightly at all.
You know, I wonder what goes through the head of, you know, I thought the same thing with United 93 when that was over Pennsylvania. And a lot of people were like, you know, didn't see a whole lot of debris. We didn't really, how did that, but when you put the turbo all the way, you know, when you gun it and your intent is to crash a plane, you know, we've never really seen a plane crash like that. Normally when a plane goes down, there's an attempt to try to at least do a crash landing to save lives. When someone has no intent to do that, we don't know what the debris field looks like. But there were a lot of, you know, conspiracy theories that maybe that plane was shot down. Well, normally when you shoot a plane down, there'd be a debris field.
But there was.
But
there were people 20 miles away reporting finding debris, pieces of paper, like that.
Did anyone report a fireball, though?
Geez, you're going back to 2001. I don't remember.
See, that would have been the key.
A fireball in the air?
In the air.
Oh, yeah. People actually did step forward to say that they saw it shot down. Now, the veracity of those witnesses,
right,
I don't know.
Right.
Let me just say this. I cannot buy into the conspiracy theory that Flight 93 was actually shot down as opposed to crashing into the field in Pennsylvania, but I also can't dismiss it owing to some of the early eyewitness stories. And there was another situation. Was it Flight 800 off of Long Island?
Well,
and this even predates 9/11, where there were some very credible witnesses. We're talking firefighters, police officers, military people, and there were military exercises taking place in that area. I've often wondered if TWA 800 was inadvertently shot down, by accident.
That's a horror. I mean, that story is just horrible. That was before 9/11 that happened. And, you know, again, the military, I'm sure, is going to try to cover, you know, whatever they want to cover. But it's just, there's so many whistleblowers, you know, there's someone on, if something goes sideways, you can count on. Abu Ghraib is a great example. People think that scandal in the prisons in Iraq was somehow the media broke that. That was someone inside the prison that said, this is completely unacceptable. It's against the army values. I'm going to bring this to justice, you know.
On the other hand, one kid takes a couple of pictures of himself on a 50-year-old submarine and ends up getting busted and sent to the lockup. So
you would like
they
to
do
think,
tend to crack down.
You would like to think that those, you know, someone would report that if they knew what had actually happened. But my point is, I was absolutely, you know, there's a lot of video of this because you're watching a passenger commercial airliner doing loop-de-loops in the sky. And it made it funny, and it's not funny. It made it charming and cute, and it's certainly none of those things.
So we want to find out. Now, obviously, is there something that you've done in your life that if you look back at now and you can kind of chuckle about it because nobody got hurt, nobody died, nobody sprained anything. But at the time you were doing it, you thought you were, you know, either totally badass or you just knew you'd done a stupid thing. The stupidest thing you've ever done in your life, particularly when you were younger. Because let's face it, your frontal lobe does not fully develop until somewhere around your mid-20s. And that is the part of your brain which is the logical part of your brain. You know, like in the movie National Lampoon's Animal House, you've got the irrational part of the brain and you've got the rational part of the brain. You've got the devil and you've got the angel. And that doesn't really fully solidify until your mid-20s. In fact, just last week, Phil Kennedy finally achieved full frontal lobe development. And I think we should have baked him a cake. We should have had him blow out some candles. But congratulations, Phil. You are now utterly logical, which means your resignation from radio will be taking place in about a minute. No. 803-0930 is the phone number. *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. I have the story of all stories, and it has nothing to do with me except the fact that I was hosting the show. But we want to hear from you guys. Stupidest thing you ever did. And what do you think about this whole hijacked commercial commuter plane situation? That was absolutely bizarre.
I have to set the record straight. According to my cousin, it was 24 ears of corn. A huge difference from 64 ears of corn.
Yes, 64, I believe.
That's
he would have
crazy.
Been dead.
I think he would have been corn intoxicated.
Corn intoxicated.
Corn intoxicated.
What an ethanol.
Well, could you? 24 is still impressive. Not bad.
That is outstanding. But I tell you, Amina Milonic, 200 clams in one sitting. Do you think I'm wrong in saying that sounds like a challenge?
I don't think that's possible. I love Amina is one of the most honorable and decent people I've met. No.
I think it's a challenge, and I think that I have to take her up on the challenge, and I'm all in. Amina, you want to challenge me to a clam eating contest? I'm all in.
I don't think you could eat 200 pistachios.
You know no, those are great. 200, you know, I think my own personal record, somebody wanted to know, my own personal, now I don't count, okay, but I'm going to guess my own personal one sitting clam record is maybe 80 clams, which ain't bad.
It's still ridiculous.
Well, let's take some calls from people who want to tell us about their reprobate earlier days on this planet. Here is Angie in Tonawanda on WBEN. Angie, obviously you didn't hijack an airplane or you wouldn't be calling us, but you've got a story from your degenerate youth?
Yeah, something I'm not very proud of. As a parent now, I'd be scared to death if I found out my child did this, but I told my parents I was going to spend the night at my friend's house, and I flew to Virginia.
What?
Yes.
How old were you?
Yes. I was 17.
What?
I know. If something had happened, I think about it a lot now, and I'm like, do I tell my parents? It's an awful thing.
What did you do in Virginia?
I had a boyfriend. He was in the military.
Oh, you got to blame the military. You got to bring that up. It's the Army's fault.
And
right?
Trump.
Yeah. So wait. You go to see your boyfriend. We'll leave the story there. And you, how did you get home?
I flew home, and then I was so afraid. I took a taxi first time taking a taxi, anything like that. First time flying, to be honest. And I had them drop me off like two blocks away, and I walked because I was so afraid. And the whole walk, it was like the walk of shame, walking blocks to my house. The whole time, I'm thinking, what if they know?
Oh my God!
So you
gracious.
Left when, and you returned when?
I left the day before, you know, and then flew back the next day. So I spent one whole night and came back the next day.
Wow.
You should be disgusted with yourself.
On the contrary, Angie, I applaud you.
No, that really took a lot of courage. But here's what I'm questioning. What if, God forbid, something happened?
I know.
And now you're like, Mom, Dad, I'm in Richmond. But let me explain. You know what I mean? Like, how do you break that news?
Exactly. I know.
I love the story, but Angie and Tonawanda, I want you to stand by because for many years, the FBI was baffled by what in the hell happened the night somebody threw a dead dummy grenade into the home of reputed mob boss Stefano Magadino in Lewiston, New York. The answer on this show was actually heard, and I'll repeat it after the news at 4. Interested?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you for the call, Angie.
Thank you.
All right, stupidest thing you ever did. What are the chances our first call was going to involve an airline flight unbeknownst to her parents at the age of 17? I kind of applaud that. Glad my kids didn't pull that stunt, but I applaud it nonetheless.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.